Hi there, this is John from the Free Gift from God podcast. I'm continuing on with my Salvation Road journey in this section about walking with Jesus. And today what I want to look at is about being reconciled to God. The objective today is to look at the reconciliation which leads to perfection in Jesus Christ as God has planned it. So in overview, our last lesson, we looked at Jesus' sacrifice for us. There are a number of reasons for why Jesus was sacrificed for us, and his death had many effects and many purposes. But the primary purpose, which I touched on last time, was to reconcile man to God. Jesus came so that man could be brought back to God and to the place of perfection as God originally made man when he created Adam and Eve. In Jesus Christ, God made a reconciliation possible and provided man the way by which we could come back to God and be perfected once more. But the situation this time was changed. When God created Adam and Eve, they started out perfect. This time, though, God has allowed man to exercise his own free will and to choose to seek God's perfection through the process of reconciliation in Jesus Christ. It's now our choice, and it's the hope of God that we will choose his path. So the first scripture I want to look at is in Romans chapter 11, verses 11 to 18. So I ask, have they stumbled so as to fall? By no means, but through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I'm speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry in order to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in their place to share the riches of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches. If you do boast, remember, it's not you that support the root, but the root that supports you. This first stage of the process of reconciliation occurred after the people of Israel chose to reject God's path. The Jews in particular, who had the laws of God, failed to keep God's law because they approached the law as though it was all about works. They thought that a man could be made righteous by doing the works of the law and so sought a form of self-righteousness. They failed to understand that the purpose and point of the law was to teach people right from wrong and for them to look to God in humility, seeking to do what was good, right and true in God's sight. They thought that if you tithed, if you kept the Sabbath, if you offered sacrifices and so on, that you were righteous. But they neglected the fact that the law was meant to teach you what was right and wrong so that you would have a change of heart and mind and seek the righteousness of God based upon faith. For even under the law, it was faith that brought a person to righteousness. And so as the Jews rejected God's way, it allowed God to open the doors for all mankind to seek him. And he's now opened that door for us through Jesus Christ. The next scripture is in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Look at how God has reconciled man, and the great love and grace that he has shown to man. Man did not deserve God's grace or love because man rejected God. Man chose to do evil and to do what displeased God from the very beginning. And by doing evil, man made himself an enemy of God. For as the Bible tells us, he who is not with me is against me. And that's over in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. And as man chose to sin, man chose to stand against God. But God, in his great love, mercy and grace, made allowances for man even while we were his enemies, because God is a God of hope. And you can see Acts chapter 17, verse 27 to see what that's all about. It was his hope that we would seek him out and find him. And in this hope of God, he made allowances for those who would seek him out and provided the way of reconciliation through the death of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verses 8 to 11, this is written. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The process of reconciliation was through the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus became the perfect sacrifice when he suffered death unjustly because he had never sinned. Death is the penalty for sin, and as Jesus never sinned, he should never have died. Then God allowed man to take on the death of Christ as our own and to die with Christ and be resurrected with Christ so as to be born anew as new creations. He enabled this to occur through baptism in water, where we die as we go down into the water and are resurrected as we are lifted up out of the water. And this all happens through faith. It is our baptism that makes us new creations in Christ Jesus, but only when we believe and have faith in what this all means and does. And as verse 11 in this section states, we must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the basis of our faith through baptism. And so now, after we have been baptized, we are made whole in Jesus Christ. We are reconciled to God and are set free from all sin as well as the law. We are no longer living under condemnation, but are set free to worship God and to receive his help to grow. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 22, this is written, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him." So all of the fullness of God dwells in Jesus Christ for the purpose of reconciling us to God. Not only did Jesus make our reconciliation possible by dying and by being raised so that we could enter his death and receive this freedom in him, but Jesus also provides all teaching, all grace, and all power to be able to conquer the problems of human nature that would destroy us. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in us, to change our nature so that we can stand perfected in the image of Jesus Christ, not just by faith, but by word and deed. God wants us to be perfect, as Jesus said, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," and that's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us to bring us to perfection. No doubt it will be a long and arduous task. We already have perfection in Jesus Christ through faith, but then it's the work of the Holy Spirit to change us in nature. Jesus reconciled us to God through his death so that we could be returned and reconciled to a state of perfection in Jesus Christ. Why? So that we could live with God, for no imperfect sinner can ever have a place in God's kingdom. While the work of perfection is happening, God provides his grace to overlook our failures. He knows that we're a work in progress. He knows that we will make mistakes, and so he gives us more grace to be able to overlook those things while we're actually learning the ways of perfection and learning the ways of God through Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 15, we see this. "In him also you were circumcised by a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having cancelled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him." We see here the mechanism of this process of reconciliation, remembering that this is a faith-based teaching. In baptism, we put off our old bodies of flesh by faith, and we put on Jesus Christ as we are raised in baptism through faith. We no longer consider or believe ourselves to be people of flesh and blood, residents of this world and age. Now, through faith in Jesus Christ, as we are reconciled to God by baptism into Jesus' death, we are residents of the kingdom of God and are freed people of the Spirit rather than slaves of the flesh. And all of this freedom is given by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and by entering into and taking on his sacrifice by baptism. Jesus has set aside and removed the legal bond that stood against us and condemned us as sinners. That is, he set us free from the law, which is the only thing that can be legal, so that we would be free to worship in spirit and truth, not by rote, not by works of the law, but by spirit and by truth. He's seeking us to change our hearts, minds, and spirit. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 20, this is written, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." We are now all new creations when we go through these processes and believe what God has done and what he has achieved in Jesus Christ. We are reconciled to God by the death and resurrection of the Lord. And since we have died with him and now live with him, we are new creations in him. And God does not count our trespasses and our sins against us when we believe and participate in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In his grace, he chose to forget our past and also to remove the law so that we will never have sin counted against us again in the future. He will overlook any failings we have as we continue to walk and learn the ways of the Lord because we are choosing his ways and holding fast our faith. So too, when we do mess up, and we will, we too must not condemn ourselves because God no longer condemns us and there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. When we make these mistakes and fall down, we need to pick ourselves up, repent, and seek to do better next time, asking the help of the Lord to teach us through these things and to give us strength to overcome. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 20 says this, "Therefore, remember at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Jesus Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints." All of us once stood apart from the promises of God. All of us once stood without hope in this world and were separated from Christ Jesus and God because we chose to sin. But now that we have this sacrifice and the ministry of reconciliation, we are able to come close to God and to receive his blessings in Jesus Christ. He removed our sins. He abolished the laws of commandments and ordinances, and he broke down the walls that stood between us and God. The true commonwealth of Israel is not a matter of physical descendancy from one of the 12 tribes of Israel, but is a matter of the heart by and through faith in the working of God in Jesus Christ. And in Christ Jesus, we receive the freedom from sin and the law that is offered by grace through faith. We find peace with God as we are no longer his enemies through sin, but by the removal of sin in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are new creations, the children of God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, we read these words, "Provided that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." Now, there is a proviso in all of this, though. We receive these gifts and promises of God through faith, and we hold on to them only by holding fast to our faith. We must hold fast and continue to walk and learn the ways of God so as to come eventually to the place of perfection. Without faith, there is no blessing because all the promises and the gifts of God are based upon faith. Thus, it's important to continue to learn so that we grow. And as we learn and our faith is tested, we become stronger in our faith as we see the intervention of God to conquer in our lives. So hold fast to your faith as it's the key to your citizenship in the kingdom of God. The last scripture I want to look at is in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God." So finally, we see that in this process of reconciliation, we are no longer God's enemies, but we are at peace with him. He is pleased to call us his children when we follow his son, Jesus Christ, and seek out all that is good, right and true in his eyes. This is the will of God, that we become like him and are perfected in Jesus Christ, so that we can stand and share in the glory of God. So a couple of questions to think about. Firstly, how do you see yourself and what do you believe about yourself? Second, do you consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ, as the scripture tells us? And third, do you call yourself a sinner, even though Jesus has taken away all your sins and set you free from law so that you do not sin anymore? That last question is an interesting point, because if Jesus has taken away your sins and set you free from sin, then he's not calling you a sinner, God's not calling you a sinner, but if you call yourself a sinner, then who's greater, you or God? Call to action. Stop calling yourself a sinner right now, because God does not call you a sinner and you are not greater than God. Secondly, when you do make a mistake, remember, it's not sin because in Jesus Christ there is no sin and you've been reconciled to God in Jesus Christ. So thirdly, when you make a mistake, repent and ask God to help you overcome whatever this weakness was that led you astray so that you learn and next time may avoid the issue. Now, don't forget, you may fall many times until you're freed, but it will come as you continue to seek the Lord. A quick prayer point. Spend a few moments in prayer now to thank God for setting you free from sin and the law and reconciling you to himself. Give thanks to God for the sacrifice of Jesus by which this was made possible and the grace of God given to overlook your failures until you reach the place of perfection that God seeks for all of his children. So that's it for this session on being reconciled to God. The next session builds upon this session on reconciliation. We've touched on this next part many times in this series and we'll do so again because it's one of the foundations that all Christians need to believe. So in the next lesson, we're going to look at faith again. But it'll be different to the other ones. There are some different things I want to look at in this aspect of faith as we go forward. So that's it for this session. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned something. And I hope that you'll join me again when we look at faith in the next session. So until next time, this is John from the FreeGiftFromGod.com podcast signing off. And I hope you have a blessed week.